Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
People don't entertain. I mean, why are we the only ones who do it? And so we realized that, you know, it was fear that was stopping them from doing it.
You're in a constant state of panic.
But everything is okay now. Everything is perfectly fine.
Oh, cake, huh? Hope it's good.
The holiday season is here. Thanksgiving and then Christmas and New Year's. You might have a couple of birthdays thrown in on top of that too. What happens if someone says, we should have the holiday gathering at your house? Are you welcoming and willing to have the party all come to your place, or are you what might be considered a reluctant entertainer? Well, today on the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns begins a two-part conversation with Sandy Coughlin. She blogs as The Reluctant Entertainer, and she'll be offering her confessions of a reluctant entertainer, and hopefully you're going to hear some encouragement and some hope if this is going to be foisted upon you anytime soon. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. And now, here's part one of today's program, Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very happy to be with you today. We have a great guest. Sandy Coughlin is with us. We're talking about Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. And she's written a great book called The Reluctant Entertainer, Every Woman's Guide to Simple and Gracious Hospitality. Sandy, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim.
I told you before the broadcast that I was reading this in bed, The Reluctant Entertainer, and I love the book. It's a hardcover. It has beautiful pictures, and it has all this great stuff, even a few recipes that I was, you know, thinking I'd show my wife. And she just grabbed the book and said, this is wonderful. And I went fast asleep, and she just kept on reading just a few days ago. I mean, this is something that every woman struggles with, isn't it?
It is. It really, I think, goes to the core of pretty much every woman.
For many people, and I mean, my wife Kathy was saying this, you know, it doesn't come naturally to a lot of people, especially if they didn't grow up in a home where there was lots of hospitality. She was talking about a mutual friend of ours who's incredible at hospitality, but she also had a mom who was amazing. Mm-hmm. But for many, they seem to be, as you describe, pretty reluctant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write about that in the book, Jim. I really encourage younger women to find a mentor, to find somebody who they like and is inspiring to watch and they can really connect with, and to follow after them and do what they do.
Well, what I loved about, in many ways, your message, and it has all kinds of great stuff in this. You call it Every Woman's Guide to Simple and Gracious Hospitality, and there's even recipes and things like that in there. But what I liked was, you know, you were saying, you know, you don't have to all be Martha Stewart here, and it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to look perfect. In fact, sometimes that's where the pressure is, that a woman, or oftentimes even a man too, struggles with this because they want it to look as if it was right out of the television show.
I think you're right. I think that we are bogged down with magazines, and there's awesome TV shows, and I love the Cooking Channel. It's really wonderful.
Makes me hungry.
It does. I know. But also, there's so many blogs out there now, right, too, that you know, will show the beautiful table setting and everything, but nobody's really sharing how do you get there. And I think women just stop dead in their tracks. They're, you know, they want to do it, but they don't know how, and they're reluctant to do it.
Well, you know, how did you get started? I know you blog. You have a wonderful blog called The Reluctant Entertainer. So that means you're the expert. So people are going to look to you to, you know, to give us the same kind of expertise. But in this blog, you kind of have a different message.
I do have a different message. I started the blog, I'll just tell you, back up a little bit. I started the blog when my husband and I, we were just discussing how people don't entertain. I mean, why are we the only ones who do it? And so we realized that, you know, it was fear that was stopping them from doing it, and busyness, and it goes on and on. So I started the blog Reluctant Entertainer, not because I'm reluctant, but I wanted to help people and write to people who were reluctant.
Yeah. And you actually have something you call Joy Busters.
I do.
Talk about some of those.
The Joy Busters are little ideas that come up and steal our joy. Example would be, I don't know how to cook. My husband's not into it. Don't want to do it with kids around. And one of the biggest ones is, my house is a wreck. I don't want people to see my house. And again, I think it's because we look at, you know, the magazines, we watch the TV shows and all this beauty, and we want that, but then we think, well, I don't have it, so I'm not going to invite others in.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I grew up in a home where my mom was amazing at hospitality and never read a book, never thought about it. And what was fascinating about it is it was more about just being welcome. I don't even know if mom always picked up everything in the house, but our home was a place that people enjoyed coming to because there was a warm atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You could put your feet up on the table, frankly. I would get in trouble as a kid, but others could have. And in many ways, it was more about her attitude than it was ever, you know, the kind of food she put out, or, you know, she didn't do what, like my wife will have fresh flowers and things like that. You know, my mom didn't do that, but the truth was is that she made people feel warm and welcome. Mm-hmm. In fact, the word hospitality and hospital have the same root in the word healing. And I feel like sometimes my mom kind of healed people by being hospitable. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And that's my my Ten Commandments of Hospitality. Commandment number one is about what hospitality is, and it is making others feel warm and welcome, inviting them in.
You said hospitality is not about you. And I think a lot of times when people are reluctant, they've made hospitality about themselves.
That's right. I think that's a bit a difference of entertaining and hospitality, too. I mean, this book is about entertaining, but when you remove yourself from it, it's not, entertaining can sometimes be showy and look what I have, look at the food I'm cooking, I have to have everything perfect, look at the table setting, and it actually intimidates people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. We have a thing. We have many traditions. My wife, Kathy, is totally into traditions. And at Christmas, about 25 years ago, at our church, we didn't have anything going on for Christmas Eve. We had a big deal Christmas Day. So we talked to some single folks who didn't have anything else to do. And so we invited them to our house, and we had Chinese food. And Kathy went crazy. Literally, we made the decision like at the service. Mm-hmm. So she went crazy, you know, pulling it all together. And she put out nice plates and all this stuff. And then, you know, that night, we were washing dishes like crazy and worked late, kind of getting ready for now the Christmas thing. Mm-hmm. And then we still do this, and it's an incredible tradition. We go get the Chinese food, but now we've moved to paper plates.
Yeah.
And it's not as fancy. And you know what? I think the people like it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
We do.
Yeah, paper plates. I write a lot about that on my blog, and, you know, paper napkins, paper plates. It just really depends on if you don't have the time, pull out the paper plates. If you have the time, then use your dishes.
Sure, sure. You know, and sometimes when you're doing something on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or whatever, you just got too much going. Mm-hmm. But don't send your husband to go get it, because I thought yellow was a nice looking paper plate for Christmas. I just loved this thing. And when I came back, she actually made me go back to the party store and change it. And I'm not one who likes to take things back.
Yeah.
But she said, absolutely not. We are not having yellow paper
at Christmas.
Plates. Why? What was the big deal? What would you, you know, help me out here?
I probably would have done the same thing as Kathy. Come on, hon. It's Christmas. Green or red or white.
Yeah. Well, I thought, Roger, yellow was nice. What can I say? When we think about the commandments, and you have these great 10 commandments, and I love them because they actually made me and my wife feel more comfortable about entertaining in some ways. And your second commandment, you said, plan ahead, be organized, and know your recipe. What do you mean by that?
Well, especially for somebody who's starting out or reluctant to entertain, I really encourage mastering three recipes. And once you cook it over and over again, you don't even have to have the recipe. And so I think it really takes a lot of the fear out of entertaining and the worry about, you know, am I going to pull it all together, because you've already done it and you know, what's ahead for it. So, I just really encourage knowing your recipes. And, you know, when you become a more seasoned cook, then you can, you know, try a new recipe on a guest.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think we've made the mistake over the years of trying something new. Mm-hmm. And it would put a lot of pressure on us because sometimes it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, no, use most of the time, use what you know.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better about it. Then you can spend more time in really making the mood a better place.
That's right.
Because you're not thinking about whatever is going on with the food.
Right. You can focus on your guests more too.
Yeah. Yeah. I underlined another one that you said, avoid perfectionism. Because I think a lot of people feel pressure, especially young moms.
It's so true. It also depends what we were talking about with your mom. You had a mom who really knew what hospitality was. I did too. So I feel really blessed that I learned that. But I was on a plane coming back from a trip, and a gal had shared with me, you know, we never have anybody over for dinner. And I said, well, why? And And basically, her mom ruined it for her when she was younger. Everything had to be perfect. There was yelling and screaming and, you know, do this, do that. And I actually, I mean, when we entertain, I have to say, you know, the family comes together and we all pitch in and help. And I am kind of barking orders at times too. But it's so worth it to just get it done and then have the guests come and sit back and enjoy the time. But perfectionism really steals so many women's joy and ability to really move forward.
You know what's interesting? I think it steals women's joy, but I also think it steals the family's joy.
Oh,
because
yes.
Part of it is you want to be able to entertain, but when if there's too much, you know, barking and upset and it's mm-hmm. too upset and whatnot, mm-hmm. it just doesn't happen. Now, you talked about the Coughlin family one time having this imperfect moment, and you called it the sprinkler malfunction.
Oh, yes. Well, my husband wrote the book, No More Christian Nice Guy, so we had about 60.
One of my favorite books, too, by the way.
Is it? Yeah, it's a good one. We had about 60 guests over in the backyard in a sit-down dinner. And everybody was going through the buffet line, and all the guests were about seated, and then we heard this hissing sound. And Paul and I looked over at each other like, oh, no. So within seconds, he ran so fast over to turn off the water, and it did hit about two tables.
You know, I thought about it. When I read this, I just laughed, thinking about Paul, actually. You know, he's a soccer coach,
yeah.
too, so he could kind of do some heavy-duty sprinting.
He was really, right. yeah, he like, I think he jumped completely over the pool.
Right.
To get
well,
to
I'm
it.
Glad that people who write a book like The Reluctant Entertainer can also have those kinds of misfortunes, if you would. We'll be right back. More to come on Homeward. Sandy Coughlin with us today.
And our theme is Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer with Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year season in full swing. We want you to be equipped. And we know sometimes it can be a source of anxiety and stress, and we don't want it to be that way. As a matter of fact, when you think about the biblical model, Jesus was always involved in some kind of meal with other people or family gatherings, weddings, things like that. It's a very biblical way for us to share our faith with others and also build family relationships. And here at Homeward, that's what we're all about. We encourage you to check out Sandy's book. It's called The Reluctant Entertainer, and you can learn more when you visit our website, if you're not there already, at homeward.com. Remember that Homeward has resources for you, and there's no subscription fee. You can access our online resource center at homeward.com. You can listen to streaming audio. You can get signed up for our podcast or our daily online devotional. We call it our e-votional. Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. And all of those resources are available without cost. Go to homeward.com. There are a few things you can buy, a couple of Jim's books and things like that. But if you want to browse a while, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh, look, there he is.
I know. Are you actually going to talk to him?
Yeah, why not?
Because we don't know him, that's why not?
Well, we were both new at school once. What's the big deal?
Oh, I don't know. Are you going to tell him that you're a Christian?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you will. You always do. How come you always seem to find a way to work that into the conversation?
I don't know. I just talk about ordinary stuff. I guess I don't really think of it as witnessing.
It's no great mystery that some kids have an easier time sharing their faith than others. That's why it's up to us as parents to do all we can to encourage our kids to live out their faith everywhere they go. Incidentally, the best way to do that is for you to start living out your faith in front of your kids. Believe me, your example will go a long way in helping your kids grow spiritually. Well, for a free copy of my tip sheet called Why Your Faith Matters to Your Kids, visit our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. Sandy Coughlin is with us. She's written a great book, The Reluctant Entertainer. She blogs The Reluctant Entertainer, and she's co-author with her husband, Paul, of a book that I very much enjoyed called Married But Not Engaged. And again, they've been featured on numerous television programs, radio programs, Focus on the Family, Dr. Laura, Moody Broadcasting, lots of great places. They live in Oregon with their children, Medford, Oregon. Great to be talking with you about this. It's funny because it's kind of a chick conversation. And and I have all daughters and my wife, and I tend to run in those circles sometimes. And I just realized this is so critical.
Yeah.
As we were talking about earlier, I mean, so many people struggle with the having the right everything, but your Ten Commandments, one of your Ten Commandments on hospitality actually says, you know, share conversation. So mm-hmm. I sometimes will forget what I've eaten. I don't notice that the roses were orange or white or red, mm-hmm. but what I most want is good conversation. Mm-hmm. How do you as an entertainer, you know, develop that kind of a good conversation so you know it's, boy, this has been a good experience for them?
Well, that's a good question, Jim. I think early on in our marriage, we had company over a few times, and one of the times I was literally, I just felt so angry because one person dominated the conversation. And so anyway, long story short, Paul and I learned together as a couple that we would come up with questions ahead of time to steer the conversation in a good way and include everybody who was around the table. So we really have great conversation around our table.
Do you think about it ahead of time?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Not always. I mean, you know, sometimes you're entertaining or people come over and you're, you know, it's last minute. You don't even think about it.
Sure.
But most of the time, it's purposeful and intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Purposeful and intentional. I think that's good. I was thinking when I was looking at that part of your book, I was thinking about the fact, kind of going back to my mom, we were mm-hmm. talking about her before the break. I felt that my mom practiced hospitality just with our own family.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had some good conversations, and I think she started some of it with not just good food and a warm atmosphere, but actually kind of creating conversations. We have a phrase at Homeward where we say, mealtime is family time,
mm-hmm.
because what we're learning is that so many kids who never hardly have a meal at home with their parents are the kids who are going to be more prone to sexual promiscuity, more prone to drug and alcohol abuse. They're not going to get as good of grades, but if they're, you know, if they're having meals 3, 4, 5 nights a week with their family, how do you practice this within your own family?
Well, it started when the kids were young, and now we have 3 teenagers, so it's not as easy because they're doing sports and everything, but my husband was the instigator of asking every night around the table, you know, how was your day? Tell us something about your day. So our kids had to talk every night at dinner, including the guests. So if their friends were at our table, they joined in. And we had one meal, I think it was around Christmas time, and this one gal came up to Paul after, and at this time she was a teenager, young teenager, and she said, wow, we never do that.
Right.
We never do that in our home. And so it was really impacting to her.
We have a tradition around birthdays where at every birthday we go around and whosever birthday it is, the family says 3 good things about that person. We call mm-hmm. it affirmation bombardment. We've done it for years. We just actually did it. Well, Sunday night we had some people over and it was her birthday, the woman's birthday. So I just said, my daughters rolled their eyes. They're still all together. We're all at a kind of a holiday gathering, if you would. And I said, you know what? We're going to go around the table and say 3 good things to Pam.
Uh-huh.
And so my youngest daughter started in and she did great. And then, you know, I can see others are kind of, you know, trying to figure it out because we know her, this woman, pretty well. But the most meaningful was with her husband.
Mm.
Her husband had never done that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he's praised her.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was done, they didn't thank us for the meal and we ended up singing happy birthday and all that. It wasn't planned birthday, you know, deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved that kind of a mm-hmm. affirmation.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it can be goofy, I'm sure, when you're entertaining and say, okay, now let's all do this. But and depending on the size. But sometimes you can have an intimate conversation where there's some good affirmation as
Yes. I had a dinner party with some just lady friends, and we were on the back patio of our house. And I thought ahead of time of a question I wanted to ask, what is something that others don't know about yourself? And so we went around and every woman shared. And then one of the more quieter ladies came up to me later and she said, I just want to thank you for asking that question, because not only did she learn other things about the other women there, but she said for the first time she actually could speak up and talk and people were listening about her life, because she was really a quiet person. So she never really participates in conversation. So that was really impacting to her.
No, that's great. We're talking with Sandy Coughlin. We're talking about Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. She's written a great book. Roger will tell you about it in just a bit. We're talking now about sharing conversations. And I know sometimes it seems to me, anyway, it's easier oftentimes for women to have those kind of conversations than men. And striking up a conversation with a man sometimes is just tough for mm-hmm. some guys, especially in social settings where there's kind of the entertaining, you know, hospitality type thing going on. Do you find it easier? And what advice would you give to a wife to kind of help her husband, you know, along in a setting like that?
Well, early on, again, I didn't know this, but when Paul and I married, I was all excited to start entertaining having people over because my mom was and my parents were great role models. And so then come to find out, Paul says, well, I don't really like to have people over. And it came down to the conversation. And so
Mind, you know, kind of eating together. It was more the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He was uncomfortable.
I think a lot of men feel like that.
With the conversation.
I don't think he's alone.
Right. So I can tell you what he did. And I think wives could encourage their husband is he studied up on it a little bit. And he basically, he's the one that came up with the conversation starters and said, so before people would come, he'd think of, okay, well, I'm going to ask these three things. And it actually was to help him get over the hurdle of, you know, his fears of conversation. I know it's hard to believe that Paul has a problem with conversation.
We're looking at it because he's here in studio with us today, right?
but that's kind of where that started.
That's fascinating. Now, when it comes to entertaining, you have a motto, KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, sister.
That's right. Keep it simple. The times where I have not kept it simple, I think I've been a miserable hostess. And those would be the times when I thought I had to do it all. I had to plan the whole entire meal from appetizer to dessert, and I wasn't going to let anybody else bring anything because at that time, I was more, I think, trying to impress. So I have another little saying, you know, are you having people over into your home to impress them or to bless them? And so once I got over that and I really figured out what true hospitality was, that's when I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to keep this simple. And so I would delegate part of the meal and plan and organize. And I have a lot of tips in my book about that, how to kind of stay on track as a hostess. But once I got off that, I was really miserable.
Great, great comment. Listen, it's been great having you. We got to have you come back next time because we got more questions. Can you come back?
You bet.
Fabulous. Sandy Coughlin with us, Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer. By the way, it's a great book, and it's just a beautiful book. Bethany House has done a wonderful job putting this together. The Reluctant Entertainer, Every Woman's Guide to Simple and Gracious Hospitality. Perfect for this time of the year.
It's a great resource, and Paul and Sandy Coughlin are so practical in their ministry endeavors. Paul with his work on bullying and encouraging men to get more engaged in their marriages, and Sandy with her Confessions of a Reluctant Entertainer, talking about how this was modeled for her at home, but she felt apprehensive. And you may have had that story as well, growing up in a home where your mom or your grandmother did a really great job of entertaining people around Thanksgiving or Christmas, and now you're trying to do this on your own and figuring, wow, wait a minute, there's a lot more to it than I remember. This is a resource that you want to check out. You can go to homeward.com. You can find more about the book and also about Sandy's website. And also some resources, too, to help you survive the holidays without too much hassle. If you go to the articles and media section of our online resource center at homeward.com and just type in holiday hassles, you'll find some articles and tip sheets there that can give you the encouragement that you need to just survive the holidays. Also, our Good Advice Parent newsletter is a good resource to have, and that's absolutely free. Comes out once a month, has some articles and links to different parenting tips that can help you improve the quality of your relationship with your kids, and especially at the holidays, that can be rather stressful, can't it? So go to homeward.com for all of these resources. That's homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.